Hi, I'm Femi Oke. How do you go from Syrian refugees welcome to Syrian refugees go home? In the past 11 years, Turkey has housed refugees from Syria, and it appears that some people's attitudes towards refugees is beginning to change. Let me give you an example. This is Leyla Mohammed's story. This video you're about to see went viral in June, and I also want to warn you, it's very, very upsetting. What is going on in Turkey regarding Syrian refugees? That is what we're talking about today. Are they being used as political pawns? You can join our conversation right here, live on YouTube. Let's meet your panel. Hello, Yusuf, Omer, Sarah. Welcome to the stream. I will get you all to introduce yourself to our viewers. Yusuf, welcome back. Good to have you. Please remind our audience who you are, what you do.
Thanks for having me back again. My name is Yusuf Ehreman, the editor-at-large at the Turkish public broadcaster TRT World. This is a very pressing issue. I'm very happy that we're going to be talking about it today.
Good to have you. Omer, welcome to the stream. Please tell our viewers around the world who you are, what you do.
I am Omer Özkızılcık. I am a foreign policy and security analyst, and I'm looking forward to the discussion today.
Likewise. And hello, Sarah. Welcome to the stream. Introduce yourself to our international viewers.
My name is Sarah Hunaydi. I am a former refugee in Turkey, and I am a writer and advocacy consultant.
Sarah, when Leyla was kicked in the face in that video, I saw you flinch. Who kicks a little old lady in the face?
Xenophobes. Unfortunately, a lot of the rhetoric right now in Turkey can be symbolized in this kick in the face of an older woman.
Yusuf, let me bring you in here because you live in Turkey, so you also are seeing how Turkey hosted refugees and hosts refugees, particularly from Syria. And it was, until quite recently, an incredible success story. Integration worked. Youngsters were speaking Turkish as well as speaking Arabic. And it was working beautifully. What happened?
It was a very big success story. And I think on a state level, it still is a success story. But when you have an injection of about 4 million people, which roughly translates to about 5 to 6% of the population of the country within a short time span, like a decade, this creates stress on the social fabric of a country. After the initial welcome wore out the first 4 or 5 years, and we saw an economic slowdown, we saw refugees staying longer, it turned in from a temporary status to a more permanent status.
Yeah.
The general understanding started to change. The general outlook towards refugees started to change. And as elections are nearing now, we are definitely seeing opposition to Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan using refugees, trying to create xenophobic feelings throughout the population. And it's catching on. It's catching on. When normally something goes wrong in this society, the first people to get blamed are those who have the most silent voices, those who have the least money, those who are the minority or oppressed.
Yeah, Go ahead.
Yes, about Leyla Mohammed, I think this is a very important incident, which shows very visually what xenophobia and racism means, kicking an old woman in the face, totally inhuman. But on the other side, there are also good aspects in this story, which are that this was not put aside by the Turkish authorities or the Turkish public have ignored this incident. But on the contrast, this was used by the Turkish society as an reminder to the racist motivational policies and propaganda of the Turkish opposition parties. What you are doing to gather some votes and to win the electorate over cause harm to people in actual real life, and your words have results. Secondly, the governor of Gaziantep and Turkish officials and many parliament members have visited Leyla Mohammed or called her and expressed their solidarity, and the person who have kicked her in the face was persecuted. So these are all good aspects in this horrible incident. And I think with the new situation we have in Turkey at the moment, we can clearly assess that the racism in Turkey is primarily economically motivated and politically motivated. Mm. So we have seen that with worsening economy, as Yusuf has pointed out, and with the elections coming up, that rhetorics and propaganda against refugees have increased over time. And I am hopeful, and I hope sincerely for the sake of Turkey itself, that after the elections, these resentments against Syrian refugees will decrease, hopefully.
How do you pull back? How do you pull back from that level of hostility? Sari, you're nodding your head. Go ahead.
I don't agree with a lot of things that have been said. I don't think this issue is actually going to get better after the elections. This is something, I mean, I know that there have been apologies in the media, but it's only because this actually reached the media. We also heard a lot of kids are committing suicide because of how they're treated in school. We heard of kids actually dropping out because they cannot go on either in school or find work. People cannot find work. Rent is being increased. This is not just a how the government is reacting. This is more xenophobia that's being used, and also maybe the government needs to tackle it systematically. And Syrians are, we see, like, for example, only 200,000 people have gotten citizenships in out of more than 3 million refugees in Turkey. So, and also we see the government themselves, when they respond, they are also promising to return 1 million refugees into Syria. And we all know that even these safe spaces are not safe.
Yusuf, go ahead.
Sarah, I want to ask you a question. You said only 200,000 Syrians got citizenship out of 3 million. Was the expectation to get citizenship when coming to Turkey, or was the expectation to seek asylum, to seek refuge? Because that's a whole different story right now.
The expectation is to be safe.
Now you're exactly. But is getting citizenship a precondition to feel safe? Because I think one of the reasons why we're seeing this rise in xenophobia, rise in targeted harassment towards Syrians, is the collective understanding inside Turkey has changed over the last 2-3 years from, oh, they need us, they're our guests, yes, we're going to protect them, to, okay, they're here now, it's more of a permanent fixture. So I think a lot of people couldn't digest this understanding and couldn't accept that, because generally, when we look at the past 11 years, about the first 6 or 7 of them were very, very good. 1 or 2 years in between, we started seeing a shift in sentiment. And over the last 2 years, as elections are nearing and we're seeing an economic downturn, now we are seeing a rise in xenophobia inside the country. And it is undeniable. You do see it. I see it. I wish I didn't see it, but it is the truth that we all need to face. What do you see?
Because we gave our viewers a very vivid example of a little old lady being assaulted. What are you seeing in daily life where you're seeing, we are not the greatest host anymore for Syrians, that the relationship is deteriorating? Can you give us one example before we move on?
Well, first of all, I still think Turkey is the greatest host for Syrians, because I don't think any other country would have held out 11 years without this type of backlash coming. We've seen what happened in France, Greece, other countries.
Give us an example of the deteriorating relationship. Turkey is the host of the most amount of refugees in the world, so I do understand that. Continue with what have you seen that's been deteriorating?
Well, First of all, I work closely with a lot of Syrians. I work closely with a lot of Iraqis, Afghanis who have come to the country. And I hear stories from them when we sit down and talk. They'll come to me with their problems. They'll explain problems getting a house, renting a house, problems just regularly socially, problems with their landlords, problems just on the street, snide looks on the bus or when they're in mass transit or whatnot. So they definitely don't feel the welcome they did a decade ago. And as I said, there's many reasons for that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's look at some of those reasons. Omer, I'm going to get you to listen to. We have Asli, first of all, and then Mohammed. They're kind of analyzing what has happened to really create this uptick in hostility towards Syrian refugees. This is what they told us earlier. Have a listen and then come off the back of this video.
Even though they're providing cheap labor, there's a sense, a prejudice that in society that Syrians are taken care of by the state, that they are receiving healthcare and benefits that other Turks do not have, or that they are responsible for unemployment. None of these are true. They are struggling, but nonetheless, I think they've been scapegoated. And as such, you now have Turkey's political actors across the political spectrum, that is both the opposition and government, building election platforms on the pledge of sending Syrians back.
In fact, blaming the refugees could even serve Erdogan. First, it could cover up the root causes of Turkey's economic troubles. And secondly, it could also make the support for military operations in northern Syria, because that is depicted as a path to send the refugees back to their homeland.
Omer.
So when it comes to Turkey, we have all to consider everything in proportion in relation to each other. So what the Turkish opposition is proposing is that they will win the elections and send all of the Syrians back in 2 years by making an agreement with the Assad regime. So the opposition is promising to send all the Syrian refugees back to the person and to the regime who actually forced them to flee out of the country in the first place and who has tortured, killed many Syrians and is still doing to do so. So in contrast to that, the Turkish government is promising to enable the voluntary return of Syrian refugees back to Syria in the safe zones. And even though this is something discussed in the media and also among the Syrians, we have to clearly state that under law and under the Turkish official position, the Syrians are not refugees. They are under temporary protection. So it's the obligation of the Turkish government or any other new government which will come to find ways to facilitate the return of Syrian refugees back to Syria, like Turkey did with the Iraqi refugees in the Iraqi war in the early 2000s. So therefore, we have to say this. And secondly, about the proportions, 200,000 Turkish citizens among the Syrian refugees is not a low number, because over 200,000 Syrian refugees, the European Union almost collapsed over their distribution among the European Union member states. So this is something very sensitive. I have to say that the relation with Syrians have deteriorated.
May I intervene,
mainly
just take a pause a moment so Sarah can add to the conversation. Go ahead, Sarah.
Back to the, I know you both are focusing on the 200,000 number that I actually mentioned in the beginning. It's actually very good that Syrians are being integrated into society, but these are very small margins of Syrians. And usually they are Syrians who have money, who manage to actually have their money from Syria, and they're going to benefit the Turkish society. But as a Syrian myself, as someone who used to be a refugee in Turkey, and a lot of my friends right now are not even able, the Turkish government is not allowing them, as not facilitating legal measures to actually be legal in Turkey. So this is our problem as well. What we're hearing in the rhetoric when it comes to like we are protecting Syrian refugees is actually the opposite is happening in real life. Like an officer, I'm not saying that maybe the president, I'm saying an officer can ruin my life if they didn't approve my kimlik. I have a friend who, an officer, even when she was exiting the country, an officer actually tore her passport from 2010. And now she doesn't have a passport and she's stuck in Turkey as an illegal person.
All right,
so these are the stuff that I'm actually talking about.
So let's have a look and listen to President Erdogan. This was back in May of this year, a plan to voluntarily return Syrian refugees. Let's have a listen to the plan.
Financed by international charity organizations, we're planning to build 200,000 new homes for Syrians in 13 different locations in Syria. Our purpose is to make it possible for 1 million Syrians to return to their cities under good conditions. The war in Syria started when the regime began attacking civilians, and Western countries supported opposition groups in Syria. If they continued their support, Syria would be a safe and stable place very quickly.
Yusuf, help me out understanding this plan. I'm going to show, first of all, our viewers a map of Syria and who is in control at the moment. I'm just going to close in a little bit. The areas that we're looking at are the areas in the green with dark dots. Those are the areas that are controlled by Turkey. So here and here and here. So if the president wants to return Syrian refugees, there's only a tiny amount of Syria that they can actually go back to, and the rest is not good territory or safe territory for them to be in. This doesn't seem to be a sound plan to me, but I'm a civilian. What do I know? Yusuf.
Well, back in 2019, President Erdogan struck a deal with the Americans and the Russians to be able to expand what he called a safe zone, 30 miles into Syria, and push back a group known as the YPG, a group that Turkey calls terrorists, but makes up the bulk of the Syrian Democratic Forces, at the same time a U.S. ally. So this has been a flashpoint between U.S. and Turkey. I don't want to get too into it and off track, but one of the important things is that he wants to be able to open up a safe zone, bring Syrian refugees back into Syria, build up these places. He had talked with Angela Merkel before the former German chancellor had stepped down about a huge, massive project building briquette houses in Idlib. This is a project that he wants to expand to other areas as well. But again, there needs to be security first. If you don't have security, you can't build. If you can't build, you can't attract refugees to come back. What do they have to come back to? If they're not going to come back to ruins. So the whole idea is to be able to secure. And it's kind of ironic, actually, while we're talking right now, I'm actually in Sochi, Russia, and the Turkish president is going to meet with the Russian president tomorrow. And Syria will be top of the agenda when they're talking. So most likely a new Turkish operation could happen to push into areas like Membij and Tel Rifat to be able to create a little more room for Syrian refugees in the future.
Sure, Sarah. I want to just say that when we talk about voluntary return, we're not talking about voluntary return. We are talking about bringing Syrians who are trying to make a life in Turkey or anywhere else that's somewhere safe and forcing them to go back. I know a lot of Syrians who actually were under the voluntary return did not choose that. And these safe spaces are not safe and they don't provide a future for the refugees who are coming back. And we need to remember that when we're talking about where should refugees go, I feel like it's the last thing to think about refugees that's been happening. Like, we're not thinking about the autonomy of refugees. We're not giving them a choice of where they want to live. And this should be a human rights issue. This should be that Syrians who were forced to leave their country, and let's also acknowledge that Turkey has political agenda in Syria and they have forces in Syria. So it's one of the major players alongside the West that you're talking about.
Let me bring in some thoughts from our audience who are watching this conversation right now. Laken, thank you for being part of the show. It's really disturbing. Syrians are being abused in Turkey with cheap salaries and being humiliated in Turkey as well. There's a lot of reaction to Leyla Mohammed. I believe at the moment she is in hospital getting treatment and she is recovering. Thank you for your concern about Leyla. She was the elderly lady who was kicked in the face. Turkey has taken on a big role in the war in Syria. What can Turkey honestly do to help Syrians? Although Yusuf has explained how many years that Turkey has hosted and hosted well Syrian refugees in Turkey. And then one more thing. This is really important. I'm going to put this to you, Ömer. Why can't Turkey do something more practical, make a public works project where people can actually boost their lives? So this economic problem that is not just impacting Turkey, but many countries around the world, maybe the focus should be on the economic issue rather than on the Syrians. Omar, let me just show you something. I know you know this already, but I want to show this to you because I think it's really important to have a look at this. The number of refugees in Turkey, about 3.6 million, the number of refugees being hosted in other places around the world. So you can see how generous Turkey is with hosting refugees. 3.6 million refugees or Syrians in Turkey, 84 million Turkish people. So that hostility against a tiny minority seems misplaced. Omar, how about a different economic approach? Wouldn't that be more productive than blaming refugees?
So we have to say clearly that it's not the Turkish government's policy to blame the refugees, but the Turkish opposition and especially the leftist political parties, which is very interesting. In all across the world, leftist political parties defend refugees and right-wing are against them. In Turkey, it's the opposite. Right-wing are defending the refugees. And the leftist political parties in Turkey and some splinter small political parties, they have mainly two cards and two arguments against the Turkish government. The first is economy and the second is migration, and they're intertwined with each other. So they are in much hope if they can push on the migration and economy cards that they can win the elections. And therefore, the Turkish government is in a defensive position and is trying to make arguments in an area where it's not the most best fitted because it's a right-wing party. And here we have also to say that what can Turkey do? I think, for instance, economic support from the European Union, from international donors, and from the United States of America, other countries, are still not enough. And the promise from the European Union to Turkey were not held, and the settlements are increasing in Turkey.
Right,
so
right.
We have to say that there are only...
Just to expand.
Okay. Yes. All right, guests, just give me just a tiny pause. Because
I just
we started...
want to expand on something.
Yusuf, can you expand on it just in a moment? Just the reason I'm doing this is because we started with an awful story about Leyla Mohammed. I want to close with a story that maybe gives us a little bit more hope about a Syrian refugee in Turkey. This is Ahmed's story. Ahmed was doing an interview in the street and a lot of Turkish people gathered around him and started bullying him. This is where I'm going to show you this video first of all. Let's have a look.
Suriyeliler demeyeceksin.
Ben isim vermiyorum.
Her şeyi Suriyelilere atıyorlar ya. Her şey Suriyeli. Her şey Suriyeli. Bir gün ben kim? Ben bir insanım.
Bizi kullanıyorsunuz ve bizim paralarımızı yiyorsunuz.
Şimdi bizim paramızı yiyorsunuz dedim. Şimdi ben öğrenciyim. 17 yaşında bir öğrenciyim. Bana yapılan ırkçılıktan ben okuldan çıktım. Ben 9. sınıftayken o sınıf birincisiydim.
Niye bırakıyorsunuz bana
çağrı? Neden yaptım ırkçılıktan dolayı?
A Turkish businessman saw that video. He was so upset by it that he decided that he was going to support and pay Ahmed's tuition fees. We spoke to him a few hours ago, and this is what he said about the attacks and assaults on Syrian refugees in Turkey. He was much more positive. Let's have a look.
Türk halkı ve Türkiye Cumhuriyeti Devleti milyonlarca Suriyeli mülteciye iş, aş, yaşam ve barınma olanağı sağlamıştır. Dünyada Türkiye'nin yaptığını hiçbir devlet yapmamıştır. Türkiye'de yabancı düşmanlığı, Suriyeli mülteci düşmanlığını yaratmak kesinlikle ve kesinlikle Türkiye'ye büyük bir haksızlıktır. Bakınız, Türkiye'de şu an hiçbir şekilde mültecilere karşı kötü bir muamele bulunmamaktadır. Tam tersi, mülteciler, Suriyeli mülteciler Türk halkıyla iç içe yaşamakta, aynı apartmanda, aynı binada yaşamaktadır. Aynı iş yerinde çalışmaktadır.
So let me show you on Instagram. This is Sabia, who is now sponsoring Ahmed, who was bullied in the street, who left school because of racism. They are working side by side, a Turkish person and a young Syrian man. Working together in Turkey. Maybe that is a positive way to end this show. Yusuf, thank you. I will come back to that thought in a future show. Omer, appreciate you. And Sarah as well. Thank you for all of your thoughts and your comments on YouTube. That wraps up our show for today. Thanks for watching. I'll see you next time. Take care.